we should be longing and longing for the day when every tear will be wiped away once and for all. Loved ones, we should be groaning for the perfect and everlasting joy that will be ours in Jesus Christ. Happy are those who weep now, who mourn, who long for what will be again. For then you shall laugh in eternity with Jesus Christ.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Live in the Light. We're glad that you're here today because yesterday we jumped into a new series that really is very timely. The New Testament tells us that many will fall away and that the love of many will grow cold in the last days. And in this series, Pastor Robbie is going to walk us through some powerful truths for the follower of Jesus Christ. What kind of person will endure to the end for Jesus? What kind of person perseveres and stands firm and holds fast to Christ? What kind of person is going to make it to the finish line? These last days are certainly upon us. Are we ready and are we prepared to finish well for Christ? Today we look into Luke's gospel at Jesus' words about character. It's a call for character and it's so important for us. Here's Pastor Robbie now with today's message from Luke 6, beginning in verse 20.
Temporally obsessed. How many people live for wealth, riches, possessions, earthly security, and obsessed with comfort? In fact, you know, another way to translate verse 24, some translation do. It says, and you have received your comfort. Woe to those who are rich, for you have received your consolation. You have received your comfort now. Reminds me so many Bible passages from Jesus himself. He says, if you find your life, you will lose it. If you find your comfort now only, you will lose it. God calls those who build bigger barns here on this earth for their own supply and their own pleasure. At the end, he says, you fool, this night your souls required of you, and these possessions, whose will they be? Jesus says again, what profit is it if you gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Woe to those who are rich, for you have received your consolation. I mean, right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to some people right now. I just know it. I can feel it. When Jesus uses the word woe, it's like, alas, or it's like, how terrible are the rich who only live for riches of this world. It's an expression of regret, though, not a threat. So Jesus is saying here, how terrible, how awful it is that so many live for riches temporarily that they might suffer then eternally. And there's so many teachings Jesus gives on this truth. But woe to those who are rich, for you have received your consolation. I thought about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus this week. I thought about this extraordinary parable of the rich man who feasted sumptuously compared to Lazarus, so the dogs came and licked his sores. He was begging for crumbs at the gate. And the comparison, though, in eternity, and this is what the parable says here. It says this, listen so carefully. Like, look at Jesus' effort to tell us how life is actually to be lived. And he, the rich man, called out, he's in hell. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, the poor beggar, to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here in heaven, and you are in anguish. There are so many millions and millions of people that are living for the comfort of today only that will spend eternity in utter anguish and flames. Lazarus had nothing. He was poor on this earth, but had faith in God, and he will be comforted forever in eternity. Again, these aren't my words. These are the very, very clear teachings of Jesus Christ. Some of you right now, all you're living for is earthly security. If anything COVID has done the last 14 months is you doubled down on trying to hoard and establish earthly security for your life. That is the opposite direction that Jesus wants you to go. He wants to use the last several months to loosen hands, to live, to be poor in spirit, to live for the kingdom. Not to seek personal comfort here and now, which again, if all you live is your consolation through riches now, again, you better enjoy it because that's all you get. That's all you get. And how many will have eternal regret because their character could not withstand the temptation towards riches in our day. They were deceived by Satan to think that life is only about here and now and the way we live. Loved ones, you live for the riches on earth. You've already received your reward. Tragic. But to be poor, to be broken in sin before Christ means you can't even imagine the reward to come. Man, I love those thoughts so much. We sang about them today. How many have lived for momentary pleasure again with eternal regret? Listen, woe to those who are rich. Why? You will not make it in the last days. Woe to those who are rich. You will not make it in the last days. Why? Because as the parable of the sower and the soil, Jesus points out, for the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches will choke the word. I'd rather be poor than rich. The character who follows Jesus Christ understands this eternally. I would rather be poor than rich. Number two, I would rather be hungry than full. I would rather be hungry than full. Look at verse 25 now. Look at verse 21. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. I want you to notice too that blessed is in the present tense. Blessed now, blessed currently, meaning this is a happiness, loved ones, that can be enjoyed now. This happiness available to us now. So happy are the hungry. Love that. Happy are the hungry. Why? We wouldn't talk like this. Because it's the hungry that will be satisfied. Why are the hungry satisfied? The hungry are satisfied because they know they are in need. Again, one important principle, again, we are so needy for the Lord, so needy for the Lord. As I was thinking on this, blessed are those who are hungry, for you shall be satisfied. The hungry know they need to be fed. The hungry know they need Jesus Christ. The hungry know they need the Lord. I thought of Proverbs 27, verse 17. I want to show it to you here on the screen. Look at the wisdom here. This is so true, isn't it? One who is full loathes honey, right? The person who's bloated and stuffed and filled their stomach, they're not hungry for anything. I'll get that away from you, right? You have no desire for anything, even the sweetest and the richest of foods, honey, in ancient times. But to the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. That's why they say don't go to the grocery store when you're super hungry, because you just buy everything, right? Because you're so hungry. You're willing to eat anything, right? I could eat a horse, the saying goes, right? To the one who is hungry, everything bitter, even things that don't taste very good, you don't care. You're so hungry, you just need to be fed. Apply that spiritually. Happy are those who are hungry, for they shall be satisfied. Of course, Matthew's gospel fills this out again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness found in Jesus Christ. Why? Because that is where true satisfaction comes from. A massive principle of character for the last days. What are we truly hungering for? What are we feeding on? What do we believe truly satisfies? Just this past week, I joined a leadership group in our church here with some men. I'm really excited about it. Our first session, we spoke of hunger for God. Hunger for God. Our first memory verse was Psalm 63, verse 1. on the screen for you, Psalm 63, again, our memory verse. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you again. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. But your love is better than life. My lips will praise you. How do you overstate the importance of hunger for the Lord? All joy is found in Christ. Happy are those who are hungry. Happy are those who are hungry. But now look at the woe contrasting this truth down at verse 25 now. Look at, but woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Church, think of how many in our world are so metaphorically fat from overindulgence. Think of how many in our world are so obese from entertainment. There's no hunger because there's no room. There's no hunger for God because they have stuffed themselves fat with everything else in this world. They loathe honey, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because they've again consumed everything else around them. We've gorged ourselves on ourselves and we have no need then. That's our world in a nutshell right there. There's never been more entertainment. There's never been more food options. There's never been more distractions. There's never been more silly, stupid games on our phones. There's never been more, again, sports feeds. There's never been more. Never more hobbies to pursue. We've gorged ourselves on ourselves, and therefore we do not hunger, and therefore we are not happy, and therefore we are miserable because we're trying to satisfy ourselves on things that can't, they simply can't last. But listen. For those who are gorging themselves on themselves, the need will come, but the need will come and it'll be too late. Again, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, this is just such a perfect illustration. The rich man ends up in hell, and it's there that the story and the description, he looks back, he's longing for one drop of water on his tongue, one drop of water to be dipped on his tongue. This is a man who's feasted sumptuously with all the food you can imagine. He gets to eternity, he wants one drop of water. It is terrifying how many are going to live out that truth. When the need truly comes, it'll be too late. Wow. Loved ones, a call for character, a call for wisdom, a call right now to prepare ourselves to live with wisdom for the last days. Those who have bloated themselves with the world, they are not prepared for the last days. If we consumed everything around us, listen very carefully. If we are feeding ourselves on everything but Christ, we are not prepared for the last days. So few Christians pray. So few Christians read the word on a regular basis. So few Christian believers seemingly serve. It's devastating, right? I'm just telling you the stats and just say, well, no hunger. Doing everything but God help us and God will forgive us and God will lead us. Take a strong look at your life right now. Take a strong look at your life right now and ask, why is there so little hunger for God? Why is there so little hunger for God? You have your answer. It's because of our metaphorical gluttony. God, lead us. God, lead us to be ready. I would rather be hungry than full. Thirdly, I would rather weep than laugh. This is closely tied to point two. Let's look at it briefly, though. Verse 21 again. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Now, what does this mean here? There are many godly tears being shed in our day. There are many tears of spiritual brokenness. There's much grief and much mourning. There are many tears of heavenly longing. Man, I feel that. There are many tears of godly discontentment. There are many tears over the evil of our day. And consider the words of Jesus here. According to this truth in this verse right here, we should not be okay with our sin. And we should not be okay with the sin of our world. We should be weeping. We should be broken. We should be longing for the day when every tear will be wiped away once and for all. Loved ones, we should be groaning for the perfect and everlasting joy that will be ours in Jesus Christ. Happy are those who weep now, who mourn, who long for what will be again. For then you shall laugh in eternity with Jesus Christ. Again, when the Son doesn't have a need because the glory of Jesus Christ is there from the Lord God Almighty and we're in perfection. And again, understanding we long for that so much. That is the day we will laugh for eternity in the presence of Jesus. Amazingly, happy are those who weep now, for you know why you ultimately live. I've said this many times in the past, but this is why there's so many movies that move me so much at the end, because there's a picture of, it's kind of happily ever after, but some movies do it so well, where there's a picture of perfection, some of them Christian-based too. There's that sentiment and that truth that all things will be made right. And more often I sit there and tears well up in my eyes and run down my cheeks because I can't articulate how much I long for that. Like how much I long for the sin to be gone, how much I long for the sin around this world to be gone, to be dead, how much I long to be with Christ. I mean, just this week, I sat down with my wife and just trying to articulate to her how saddened I am by our world, how much, again, our world, it just is so discouraging to look around, but to have eyes on Jesus Christ and to long, to groan, to desire for the fulfillment of Christ to return as we should. And ironically, as only Jesus Christ can do, happy are those who weep. Doesn't make any sense. And yet it does, doesn't it? Happy are those who are broken. Happy are those who mourn over sin. For they know the time is coming one day so soon, the King is going to return. And they shall laugh then. It's going to be awesome. But now notice the woe, the contrast of this. Verse 25. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Very serious, isn't it? Woe to you who laugh now, for in the future you will mourn and you will weep. So Jesus, how terrible it is, he says, how terrible it is. Woe to those who laughingly mock at the things of God. Woe to those who just live for the next round of jokes and their parties of drunkenness. Woe to those who laugh at sin, who laugh at God's word. Woe to those who laugh at the idea of the return of Christ. Because Jesus says here, you will laugh now, but you shall mourn and weep in eternity. In the end, you shall mourn and weep. Again, a verse I thought of right here, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, again, so perfect, speaks of the coming of Christ. Behold, Jesus is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Like, look at what that's saying. Woe to those of you who laugh now, for you shall mourn. You shall mourn and weep and wail at the account of the coming of Jesus Christ. Because in that moment when Jesus Christ returns, you will realize there is nothing to laugh about now. Our God will not be mocked. That verse has always sobered me so greatly. Listen, those who all they do is laugh now, they will not be ready in the last days. They will not be ready. Oh, for those who are mourning and weeping. I want to speak to just even you right now, and you have been mourning and you have been weeping. You have been fighting through discouragement and you have tears. Maybe you have tears even right now. I just want you to know, not for long. Dear woman watching right now, not for long. He's coming. Dear brother right now, you've been weeping and you've been broken. Not for long. But I pray in the midst of your brokenness and I pray in the midst of your tears right now, I pray you will know the happiness of Jesus Christ that transcends our ability to explain or understand. This is what God does. You are weeping now. I've been weeping too. Hey, church, not for long. Not for long. Jesus Christ is going to come, and the moment we see him, man, every single second we spend on Jesus Christ and understand that we are broken and hungry for him, every single second will be worth it for all of eternity. This is the character that will last in the last days. This is the character that will finish. These are the people Jesus Christ is calling. These are the men and women who will be strong in the midst of such difficulty. It has always been, it will always be. I'd rather be poor than rich. I'd rather be hungry than full. I'd rather weep than laugh. And lastly, this, I would rather be persecuted than praised. I would rather be persecuted than praised. Verse 22. Blessed are you when people, this, just look at this. Blessed, happy are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. Not only that, rejoice in that day, leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. What a massive principle for last day living, isn't it? Few realities will separate those more who finish and falter more than this right here. Such an encouragement for me to understand how much the early church relied on the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. They were a constant reference point for them in the early church. We see why. The massive hostilities they faced, the great need for their perseverance. And they all knew it was character in Christ that would endure. And we, in our own way, in our own time, we will be no different. Look at how clearly Jesus teaches this. I mean, it's just so, such a paradox. Happy, blessed are you when you're hated, excluded, reviled, and spurned as evil. Blessed are you when you're despised for the sake of Jesus Christ. In fact, he goes farther, not only happy are you, but rejoice and leap for joy. Fascinating. Why and how? Because you're not living for now. You're living for the reward to come. Again, here it is. Here it is in scripture. Again, in another way, church, don't live for the world. Don't live for the world. Don't live for the world. Live for the world to come. Live for the world to come. Loved ones, stop right now. Pause, pause, pause. Listen, pause. It's so important. So important, right? So many believers want to be liked. So many believers try so hard to please man. They go out of their way trying to be liked by everyone, but you're holding the same Bible I am. I mean, look at what verse 26 says. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. What we're learning here from Jesus, which some people don't like to hear, is this. If everyone is speaking well of you, you're not truly following Christ. Because if you're truly following Christ, you're making some enemies at some point and sometime. If everyone speaks well of you, Jesus teaches us today, something's off. You're not truly following Christ. We now live in a post-Christian world. It just kind of amazes me. I still remember saying the Lord's Prayer every morning in grade 6 in public school. You remember that? Some of you are so young, you have no memory of that. The Lord's Prayer in public school every single morning. That's just amazing to me. Not anymore. Not anymore. Look at how clear Jesus' teaching is here. Look at it, look at it. Happy are you when hated, reviled, excluded, and spurned as evil. Now, some of you listening right now, you resist this teaching right now. And the reason you resist this teaching, you push back and you appeal. Well, we're called to love everyone. We're called to love everyone and be at peace with as many as possible. And to that, I say amen. I say amen, but listen, remember, Jesus was love in perfection, right? Jesus loved perfectly. And he ended up being crucified and murdered by a mob. Let me say it again. He loved with perfection. And he was ultimately killed for it. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you too. So this idea, let's just love everyone and everyone will love us back. That's not biblical. We're called to love everyone. Everyone will not love us back. Jesus promises here, actually happiness is found in those who are reviled, who are excluded, who are rejected, who are hated. It's a tough truth, but such an important truth. It's a massive part of understanding. And why did Jesus say this too? Because a massive part of love is truth. And Jesus came to tell the truth. Such an important passage, isn't it? I mean, no wonder Jesus lifted his eyes up on his disciples and with such earnestness and love, you can feel it there. He looked at them and he said, listen, I want to show you this is the way to finish well. It will be the opposite of what you hear around you. You won't hear it at school. You're not going to hear it from culture. You won't hear it on the news. But this is the path to true happiness. These are the people that I honestly bless. These are the people who will finish well. These are the people who endure through last day living. As we end here today, I want to do this. I want to strongly encourage you at the end of this service. I strongly encourage you, church, to talk through this message today. Talk with each other, pray with each other about each blessing and each woe. I mean, can you be honest with one another? Maybe you're gonna text or phone a friend to do this. You can jump on a Zoom or FaceTime. Talk through the passage. How am I doing with this? Where am I at with this? Talk through each point. Let me just put up a slide on the screen to help you out with this right here, okay? At the conclusion of this service today, take a few moments and say out loud to each other, as families or friends, whatever it is, would I rather be poor than rich? Really? Is my life living this out right now? Is my life demonstrating this truth, or is it the reverse? Would I rather be hungry than full? Really? Really? Would I rather weep than laugh? Really? Talk about it with each other. Oh, I pray for transparency. I pray for vulnerability. I pray for honesty. Would I rather be persecuted than praised? Really? Really? Would I? Would I rather be persecuted than praised? All of these are massive character traits of how Jesus calls to live in the last days. In fact, it will be the massive separation between those who finish well and those who falter. I encourage you so much. Pray together and pray for one another from these things. Again, just take 5 minutes when the service is done. 5-10 minutes. And say, Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, I want to pray to you. God, would you help us? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's pray, church. Lord, we ask the question, are we ready? Are we ready? We can be. We can be through Jesus Christ. You are listening right now, and maybe this message has impacted you right where you are, and Jesus Christ is speaking to you. Run to him. Turn from sin. Place your faith for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, that you have seen for the first time that the blessing of life is not the earthly riches. The blessing of life is eternal riches in Jesus Christ through salvation in him. Oh, I pray to those who are believers right now. I pray for those, oh Lord. And I pray that they would look at their hearts and lives as I am looking at mine and saying, Lord, I see this truth. May I live this truth. Speak to your church. Conviction of sin is so good. It's one of the main reasons the Holy Spirit came. But I pray, Lord, not for guilt. I pray now for the incentive for forgiveness and the incentive now, Lord, to see a life change and difference within our lives. May it be so. Even as we sing now, use this song as a wonderful expression as to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ and a wonderful response to this powerful passage today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light.